unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension. A dimension of sound. A dimension of sight. A dimension of mind. You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into the Twilight Zone.
Ladies and gentlemen, live from the multi-million-dollar interstellar media broadcast communication studios of TalkZone.com, it's Lawyers Who Needs Them, featuring Randall Simonetti and Jim Hartman. Randall and Jim are ready to take your toll-free calls from anywhere in North America at 1-888-463-6748 and world listeners at 011-847-470-0937 from anywhere around the globe. And now, here's Jim and Randall.
Oh, now listen to that crowd today, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, believable. Thank you. Thank you very much. And thank you for joining Lawyers Who Needs Them right here on TalkZone Radio. I'm Randall Simonetti.
And I'm Jim Hartman.
And my partner, Mr. Hartman, is considered one of Rochester's top trial attorneys. That's because his office is on the top floor. And he has argued cases before the United States Supreme Court.
And my partner, Randall Simonetti, is the president and CEO of the National Multiple Sclerosis Society, serving over 12,000 people with this disease in 50 counties across upstate New York.
Each week, Jim and I attempt to take the mystery and complexity out of our legal system.
And perhaps inject some common sense and a sense of humor back in.
And as we said, if you don't have a sense of humor, follow some other program, because here it's a prerequisite. That, and of course, you can't drink at work, but that also complements the program.
Well,
it's not that we change in any way or our talent is affected. Right. It's just that we sound better to you.
Well, a lot of people may not go to the water fountain anymore.
That's correct.
Another thing. Don't say you can't drink.
That's right. All right.
You let them drink.
All right. It's good.
It'll probably make it a happier day, and they'll probably get more done.
That's true.
And it'll make more sense.
And at least they'll have a better sense of humor.
That's correct.
All right. So, now, if you are interested in calling us in your drunken state, you won't be able to dial this number. But if you aren't drunk, or you can get a colleague at the cube next to you to help you dial, it's 1-888-463-6748. That's 1-888-463-6748. And now, world listeners, that's if you're right now standing next to the Leaning Tower of Pisa, and you'd like to call us with a question that you have because your Italian lawyer has screwed you up, dial us at 011-847-470-0937. And by the time you're done writing that, your clothes will be out of style, but I'll try it one more time. 011-847-470-0937. That's for all you lovely people on the other side of the globe. Okay. Now, if you have a question and you're shy and you don't want to call in, you can send us that question by simply clicking on the question box on the TalkZone webpage that has our lovely pictures. And as you can see, by looking at those, our faces were definitely made for radio. Or you can go to the official Lawyers Who Needs Them website. That's Lawyers Who Needs Them, the world's longest word, .com. LawyersWhoNeedsThem.com, and we will be happy to answer your question on next week's program. So, without any further ado, let's kick off this week's edition of Lawyers Who Needs Them. Now, Jim, this is an interesting one. We have a prosecutor and a judge, and they're having a love affair, which, of course, happens from time to time. Professional people get together. Unfortunately, they didn't disclose this, nor did either of them recuse themselves. So this guy's got a pretty good he's got 100 cases, 100 convictions. The man is going 100%.
Well, we don't know how many convictions he has or how many cases he had.
But he had some problems.
But in this case, the now retired judge, Verla Sue Holland.
You had to mention her name?
I happen to know her, Susan Holland, who's a very dear friend of mine.
Oh, yes.
But she's not
related.
Not a judge.
Thank you.
And the one-time prosecutor, Thomas O'Connell, were apparently diddling around, and he was trying cases, and this came up because there was a death penalty case.
This is a serious case.
Darn right. And a fellow by the name of Charles Dean Hood. And the prosecutor in that case was none other than Thomas O'Connell, who was having an admitted affair with this Verlesu Holland, the judge.
Okay.
And finally, the governor of Texas heard about it. This is all in Texas.
I see.
Because
where
when
things
the judge,
are bigger.
Yeah, well, when the judge used to say to them, "Come," in, she really had to say, "Come into my bedchamber."
Right.
Because that's what kind of chamber she
but
had.
But this poor guy, this guy was on death row, and they stopped it just in the nick of time.
He was slated for execution. And when they heard about this, they stayed the execution. I think they stayed it anyway because he was taking appeal on other grounds.
Okay.
But they stayed the execution, thank God, because there's going to be a real problem. I mean, this is really lunacy.
What about all the other cases?
The fact is they never disclosed this. There were a lot of cases tried in front of her by him, and the failure to disclose the affair, as one person said, is a shocking and devastating indictment of Texas criminal justice, of the Texas criminal justice system. Well, it is. It would be a devastating indictment of any criminal justice system
right.
to have somebody who was having an affair with a judge trying cases in front of that judge.
I have a question for you. When you get a break.
Wait a second.
All right.
Just a minute.
All right.
Finish this.
Finish your thought.
And then we'll have a question period.
Okay. Thank you.
So it's a pretty serious thing, and the problem is as you have recognized. That this occurred in many cases, and every one of them is really subject to a new trial.
Okay.
So, folks, you never know.
Right. And that's why we don't serve, what is it, the old saying, we don't practice law, just justice,
Go ahead, say it again. Don't talk to me about justice.
Okay.
I practice law.
Practice law.
And I'm still practicing, and I still haven't gotten it yet.
All right, we'll
so
keep it up.
We go.
Another 10 years you
yeah,
might
we'll
have this. Now,
practicing.
Here's my question. Here's
yes.
my quick question. It
yes.
relates to
What's
this.
Your question?
This is a serious offense. There's no question about it. But to say it is characteristic of Texas, the Texas justice system, don't you think that's not really
fair? No, it didn't
say
characteristic. It said it's a
block. It's an indictment.
It's an indictment.
It's an indictment.
Well, it's what they say. You know what it is. It says it's a shocking and devastating indictment of the
yeah.
Texas
but
criminal
that
justice
makes
system.
It
but
sound...
I, this doesn't go on every day in
no,
Texas.
No, of course not.
And listen, it may go on in other places.
That's right.
If it happened in Rhode Island, you would say this was a shocking indictment of justice in Rhode Island.
But not Chanute. Chanute, Kansas, this would be just
a
good weekend.
It depends. It depends on what you're doing.
All right.
But I imagine that if this goes on any extended basis, practicing law in Texas is a lot of fun. But I don't know. So,
did you ever try a case in Texas?
As a matter of fact, I didn't try a case in Texas, but I was involved in one where we had trial counsel who were local counsel in Texas. It was a long case. It took 14 weeks.
It was a Texas Longhorn case.
It was a, yeah. Anyway, it was in the federal court, and it was very nice. It was in the summer, and it was about 9 million degrees.
And you went down?
Yeah,
okay.
Well, fortunately, the judge kept the courtroom at about 68. So when you walked out of the building, you, like, died.
You melted. Yeah, but the judge wasn't taking any chances of anybody falling asleep,
which
was a good idea.
That's right.
All right, speaking of falling asleep.
Yes.
Legal fees soar in this Mattel case, and we talked last week about legal fees, which we talk about every week. We're always going to have something we talk about fees.
What about the fee?
What about the fee?
What about the fee?
Right. That's the first thing the attorney says when you go in his office.
What about the fee?
Exactly. So,
are we going to talk sense or are we going to talk money? That's the thing.
Are we going to talk justice
or money?
All right. Yes. Well, speaking of fees, how far did they soar?
Well, they soared to $93 million. In one case, and this is not a class action. You must understand, a class action case, these fees are almost like that. They always are huge fees, and someday we'll devote a section to class actions to show that all they do is generate fees.
Right.
I mean, the different members of the class get like $1.30, and the lawyers get millions of dollars. But in this particular case, it's not a class action, and it was a case in which Mattel, the toy people, sued MGA Entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Who also manufactured a toy, and they had a doll called the Bratz doll, B-R-A-T-Z, not Bratwurst, but the B-R-A-T-Z.
Oh, I thought there was a hot dog.
No, it was a hot dog of a case.
Okay.
So anyway, Mattel sued him for $2
billion,
up with only $100 million. They did win the case to the extent of $100 million.
And what did the lawyers get?
And the reason they won is because the partner, because of the fact is that the person who brought the idea of the Bratz doll to MGA was a former employee of Mattel.
Uh-huh.
And they said that he had come up with the idea while he was with Mattel. This is a case, obviously, not a patent infringement, but something similar, either okay. copywriting, patent infringement, or trading on someone else's ideas,
okay.
theft, piracy, commercial piracy. But in any event, the fee was extraordinarily large. And as one person said, it was breathtaking. Breathtaking fee. Well, I want to tell you, if somebody paid me $93 million, it would take my breath away.
Well, let me ask you a question. $93 million on a $100 million case.
Well, I know. That's right. Well, they sued for $2 billion.
Right.
And as a matter of fact, MGA, who lost the $100 million,
right.
they had $63 million in attorney's fees, and Mattel has $30 million up to date, and they may be more in,
oh, so the
involved,
total
because
fees.
Those are fees only. Yeah, but those fees, the $30 million is only for like half a year. We don't know what the rest of it is. So right. it'll probably go way over $100 million for a case that was worth $100 million at best, according to the jury.
Well, there you go.
And that was it.
99 cents on a
but
dollar.
But the point is,
what is
you
the
know,
point?
How can anybody get a lawyer?
Right.
I mean, these fees are just outrageous.
Well, shouldn't the corporation almost, stop this?
Well, they could do it if they were smart. I mean, you got 13 lawyers working on one case. What are they all doing? Why
right.
are they doing this? And they're all, you know, have these guys, they travel in packs to depositions. You can't, a lawyer should be able to go with a paralegal and do the job. You go with a million lawyers and one's handing documents to the other and they're all whispering in his other's ears. And I mean, the place is getting, you can almost, I mean, they're all there with briefcases. You get the odor of leather is overwhelming. It smells like a ranch. So what can I tell you?
You're on the Ponderosa.
That's right. That's what these guys charge like right. it's going out of style.
And with all those pinstripe suits,
well,
you could go blind.
Oh, you could. You could. You can see. You get stripes in front of your eyes.
I know. You start seeing stripes.
They see dots in front of
spots.
Their eyes. Spots.
You see spots.
Spots is the name of a dog. Spots.
Right,
come here.
Right.
And you see...
That's right, Spots.
Spots.
Yeah, you remember
and
Spots.
And you see, sure I remember Spots. A heck of a dog. I
yeah.
think he was the one
yeah,
in the...
Here he
there
is
he
now.
Is. Hey, Spotsy baby. But
he's got to get in on the action.
Listen, is this going out of sight here?
No.
Is that... But in any event,
this
it seems
are.
To me that that something is going to have to be done with these fees. And by the way, these are extraordinary, but so are the executive salaries paid. Look at all the executives in these busted investment houses.
Wow, this is ridiculous.
That have gone down the twos. One
right.
is going to bankruptcy. Another one is going to be sold to Bank America. Merrill Lynch is going to be sold to Bank America. What's the one that just went? Bear Stearns.
Bear Stearns.
They saved that one. And this one, what was this? Salomon Brothers.
Salomon
just
Brothers.
Just went bankrupt.
Right.
They filed, today they filed a petition in bankruptcy.
Salomon Brothers is different. That's a whitefish company.
Well, at yeah. any rate, let me say this, that these guys, have just milked these companies and their salaries and bonuses and everything
and
else.
And they should go to jail.
And the shareholders, they get, you know what? Forget it.
All right. Well, this is an interesting case. This has nothing to do with lawyers' fees or kooky affairs in a courtroom.
Well, it's a matter of
but
what goes on in the legal world.
Very
right.
interesting. Some new research into the 1953 Rosenberg trial. The Rosenbergs were the ones that were accused and convicted of stealing top secrets from the government.
And giving them to Russia.
And giving them
at
to Russia.
At that time, the Soviet Union.
That's correct. Thank you for compressing history just a bit.
Just compressed.
Yes. Anyway, it is the research reveals that there may have been some possible perjury related to
right.
to a key component of evidence.
That's correct.
Can you tell us what that is?
Well, first of all, it's not the whole case is subject to perjury. But the thing is that Ethel Rosenberg.
Hold on a second. We got a blip here. We got it like, you know, a news flash.
What happened?
Salomon Brothers is now calling to sue us because it was Lehman Brothers that's in trouble. Lehman Brothers.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Lehman
I apologize.
Brothers. Oh, the people from Salomon Brothers were jumping out of windows.
Right. I'm sorry.
You could knock a hole.
Salomon, go back. Climb up. Back.
Yes,
get
back.
Off the windowsill.
Jesus. They were ready to go to the edge.
Get off the ledge there.
One
please.
Mistake back. Of a last name.
Back at your desk.
Right.
Back at your desk.
One mistake.
Salomon Brothers is
we're
very
sorry.
Solid and still in business. Is everybody
right.
listening? Please don't sue us, Salomon.
Yes, we're sorry. We made
if
a
you
mistake.
Do, you know what you're going to do? You're going to split the baby anyway. So if you sue us,
right.
you know you're going to get half.
That's correct.
And I would say that I feel very bad. It was.
Wait,
it
they may
was,
save the company by suing us.
That's right. So we apologize
because
you
know we have deep pockets.
We had the wrong. There's so many guys in there that you don't know who's going to go on the next. But let me say this to you, Solomon, behave yourselves, because if you go next, we'll have to talk about you this way, too. So at any rate, we apologize.
Right.
We never want to hurt anybody's feelings.
We got a news
or their bank account.
That was good. You see how fast those lawyers picked up the phone?
Oh, it's terrific.
Holy cow.
Listen, pick up the phone and run around with summonses in their hand. I should see. They ran. They put roller skates on to run down the street to serve paper. They can't find us.
They can't find us.
They don't know where we are.
They have no clue.
Oh, but they're rolling. Wait, I hear them rolling around
They're coming.
Okay.
I'll tell you. All right. It was Lehman Brothers, ladies and gentlemen. That just shows you that this show has an absolute crack research staff, and we're right on top of it.
Okay. We are?
That's the problem.
That's right.
If we would just let them up, might be able to do some research. Go ahead.
Got to sober up.
Well, let's go back.
Our guys out of doing the research.
I know. That's Sir Edward Faversham. He loves that stout.
He's a stout drinker.
Anyway, let's go back to this perjury trial.
Very interesting. 1953.
Yes.
I wanted just a little calm down so you and I don't talk at the same time.
I'm stopping.
It's my opinion. Nobody's heard anything yet.
Okay.
In 1953...
I got news for you. Those people at Salomon Brothers aren't.
That's right. Are you going to let me finish?
Yes, please.
Or start? I didn't get started.
Okay.
In 1953...
You said that already.
Two people, Julius and Ethel Rosenberg, were executed in the electric chair, which was then the method of execution. Today we have lethal injection. And they were executed for stealing secrets from the government relating to the atomic bomb and turning them over to the Soviet Union, which is the forerunner of Russia. It was also the successor to Russia and the forerunner of current Russia. Now they discover that some of the testimony of a particular person by the name of Ruth Greenglass, she said that she wrote out the secrets in longhand. And that was the testimony that was given before the grand jury. However, on the trial, she said that Ethel Rosenberg, the husband of Julius, typed out the secrets.
Okay.
And that was the actual part of the testimony that involved Ethel Rosenberg and got her convicted, and that was the basis of the imposition of the death penalty by the judge.
But in this case, it was not true. We have different evidence that says someone else wrote
it. Now,
them.
The comes up that the green glass lady is recanted, and I think her husband also recanted, and decided that they didn't say that, and she actually said it was written by her in longhand, and decrypted messages, cables from the Soviet Union, indicate that they received handwritten instructions and secrets. So it was never typed by Ethel Rosenberg. That's not to say that Ethel didn't know what her husband Julius was doing.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying Julius was fooling around. Well, please understand that. I'm not.
No, he was selling plans to the enemies.
That's right.
In fact, he sold a coat and two pair of plans.
That's right. But she knew, apparently it was, but of course, knowing is not exactly participating. So, it's a shame that they executed her, but on the other hand, you know, she was like almost guilty. What can I tell
you? Well,
so they should have almost executed
her. But why did they wait so long to recant this story?
Well,
they were feeling guilty all these years?
Possibly, I don't know. Because somebody sought to get this information.
Okay.
Get the grand jury minutes, and they finally were able to get them. I don't know whether through freedom of information or whatever it was. But some group of people were interested in it, and they got this. They got the information. They got these grand jury minutes, and indeed, the grand jury minutes were at variance with the testimony given at the trial.
Okay.
So we have a situation here that we may have executed somebody that should not have been executed, at least not for what they told her she ought to be executed.
Which is the very argument people who are against capital punishment make that argument, that at some point somebody, in this case it's too many years anyway, it wouldn't have mattered, but she'd have to be pretty old at this point. But anyway, listen, we have one.
What do you mean it doesn't matter? They killed her before she lived a life.
I know. I mean, I'm saying at this point, if she,
you must
she had been in prison all these years.
Well, this was a capital punishment crime.
Right.
All right.
Well, the opposite of capital punishment is she would have had life
in prison.
Life in prison.
Well, it wouldn't have been much of a life.
No, that's what I'm saying.
I don't know, but it's better than no life to some people. Now, from my standpoint, if I have to spend 40, 50 years in prison, might as well get rid of me now.
Yeah, that's a long time.
I would
even
not have
for you, because, you know, after the first two or three weeks, every joke would be used up.
Not only that. You know, every day is the same as the next.
That's right.
Or the last.
That's right. But
the thrill of prison is over after a couple of weeks. Let me tell you that. The weekly showers,
right.
You know, the banging around.
Right, the license plates.
The guys running around beating you up.
The food.
Right. The sex maniacs are looking at
right.
So,
you're right. It's,
you know,
lost all of its fun after the first week.
It loses its thing.
Well, folks, we don't want you to lose your appetite or fun or sense of humor or your ability to listen to this program, even though we are testing the limits. I could tell.
Of sanity.
We are testing the limits. We're going to take a short intermission. You're listening to Lawyers Who Needs Them right here on Talk Zone Radio. We'll be right back.
Every hour of every day, an American is diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. MS typically strikes between the ages of 16 and 50 when people are building careers and raising families. Today, there is no known cause or cure for MS. To learn more about this unpredictable disease, to volunteer, or to make a contribution to this important mission, please call 1-800-FIGHT-MS. You can make a difference by helping us stop this devastating disease. Please call 1-800-FIGHT-MS. Fight MS today. Thank you.